You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley and Ishaka Hislop. We'll kick off with all the action last night from Texas. Of course, the final of the CONCACAF Nations League. And this was all about the US once again dominating their international rivals. A lot of talk about whether or not Tyler Adams would score or indeed start ahead of this game. He did start and he did score. And what a goal it was just before the break. Gio Reyna sealed the deal in the 63rd minute as the US once again defeat Mexico and once again win the CONCACAF Nations League. Casey Keller joins us, former US international. All is well with the world, Casey. After all the criticism after that Jamaica debacle, the US much better actually last night.
Well, and we knew they had to be because we just knew that they couldn't replicate being as poor as they were against Jamaica, having to get very lucky to be able to get into extra time. And then they actually performed in extra time to be able to get into this final. But you knew against Mexico, if you needed reasons to be motivated against Mexico, then obviously Greg needed to, you know, absolutely change his complete squad. So everybody rose to the occasion. They played very well. They got the result. And it was kind of what I think it's kind of now the blueprint of what Greg needs to be able to do going forward. He needs to somehow be able to get that kind of energy, that kind of motivation from his side for every match. Look, I know you can't be at your best every game, but the one thing you can do is have the energy every game. And we didn't see that against Jamaica. We saw that from the start today, and then the talent was able to rise to the top and be able to perform. And yes, there were some great goals, and yes, there was a dominant performance from the U.S. throughout. Mexico never really got into the game, and you know, they were organized, defended well. I think there's so many positives to come out of this for the U.S. But the big question mark is, where was that in the semifinal? Because if the U.S. can perform like that more consistently, then I think we're going to see a better U.S. team.
The U.S. thoroughly deserving of the win, no question about that.
No doubt. And there's two sides to it. There is always, two sides to it in terms of, you have to look at the opposition to gauge your performance as well. And I don't want to take anything away from the US because that's a good win. It's a final. It's the CONCACAF Nations League final. There was, you know, Greg Berhalter was running down the touchline as if it was a World Cup semi-final, giving it the big spiel, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's a win. And for 20 minutes, and I know the game's in the United States and Texas, but there's a big Mexican contingent there. They never get out of the half. They never get out their own half for 20 minutes. They barely got in. You got Tim Reams, 36 years old. Good player, solid as a rock, but not the quickest anymore. Reads the game really well. And when Robinson pushes on down the left, he's exposed. But they couldn't even you know, take advantage of that weakness in the United States. And what I liked about the US playing early on was the press.
Yeah.
The energy, as Casey talked about at the start. You've got a midfield with, so they play 4-3-3, right? They've got Gio Reyna, who said no game time, basically, at Dortmund and Forest. You've got Tyler Adams, who has just come back from this bad hamstring injury. He's at Bournemouth. He's got limited game time. And that's the engine room of the United States team. Now, I know up front, Pulisic is playing well, and Weah's game time's been limited. Hadji Wright's playing the championships, having a good time, scored that great goal in the quarterfinal. But bearing in mind the engine room, two out of three are really limited in their match fitness. That was a pretty good performance in the circumstances. Now, as I say, you have to gauge what the opposition offered up. And I hope we have got some Mexican viewers, because I'm going to tell you, this team, this current version of Mexico, is an utter embarrassment. An embarrassment. And the US were able to outplay them, outrun them, outwork them, scored two very good goals. And you can't argue against that. This United States team, the US men's national team, has a limit. They're workmanlike, got some good guys. Whether there's the right coach or not, I don't know. There's a limit to what they're going to achieve because of the talent levels. But what we saw yesterday in last night's game was not far off, you know, probably being at the best. Bearing in mind, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to play like a Man City or all that. So it was a pretty good performance.
I have to say, I sympathise with Bear Holt and his reactions because I feel he was under pressure. Because while we could talk about the poor performance against Jamaica, I think US's poor form has gone back further than that. Lost to Slovenia, get the better of Trinidad and Tobago over two legs. Against 10-man Trinidad and Tobago at home, they score in the 86th minute to break deadlock. Having Serginho Dest sent off in the return leg, they actually lose in Trinidad and Tobago. And they look decidedly poor in all of those. So Berhalter, for me, was under a whole lot of pressure and needed not just a result, but a good performance. And I thought they got it. I thought the US down that left-hand side with Robinson, Pulisic and Reina were simply outstanding and dominated. I thought the way they moved the ball, and to Craig's point about how poor Mexico are, I cannot recall another CONCACAF team passing the ball through Mexico's midfield the way that the US did last night. That does not happen. The US dominates central, Mexico dominates central midfield. You want to get the better of them, you've got to go wide. And you've got to get crosses in and ask your physicality to get the better of them. Yet the US were able to pass through the middle of Mexico in a way that I hadn't seen. Mexico then resorted to, in being pinned back, these long balls forward, which Tim Ream was just having an absolute field day with. We sit here and talk about a CONCACAF Nations League final, and I can only remember Matt Turner making one save, a save that Casey or I could make at this point. I cannot tell you when last I have seen Mexico be this outplayed, be this dominated. And that speaks volumes to them, but more to the point, for more to the US point, it's exactly what Berhalter needed.
But it tells you, but that's also to do with the other teams in CONCACAF.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's been certainly a regression of a lot of the teams in CONCACAF. I'm not disputing that. But I think to that point, Mexico and the US dominate. And you expect that that's where you're going to see the best football in this confederation. But this Mexico was...
But if you've got a goalkeeper that's not playing, you've got a centre-half that's 36, you've got two midfielders that have lacked game time, you've got a striker that's playing in the Championship who's replaced another striker who is playing in the Championship in Josh Sargent, then expectation levels have to be at a certain limit. And whenever I watch this US side, and we've seen them be competitive in the World Cup with England and other better teams in Mexico... To me, when this US... One of the things that this youngish US team is all about, as well as they've got a certain amount of quality, is energy. When their energy drops and it's kind of 70-80%, I think a lot of teams will beat them. So they have to utilise the fact that... And I know they've had some players, as I mentioned, not playing... So that is a difficult scenario to always have that, but they certainly had it in spades last night. If when this team doesn't have the energy and the drive early on to press teams and to work hard, it loses its identity. Because it outplayed Mexico, but it won't just turn up and outplay most of the bigger teams around the world. So it has to have that added ingredient. And it had that last night. And it was, of course, it's difficult to maintain that when Adams has to go off and when Reina's only played so many times. And also, you know, Claudio Reina. Gio Reina played a little deeper yesterday.
Yeah.
He played left side midfield tucked in. So he had more defensive duties than he's used to in his normal game as well. And bearing in mind, for Greg Berhalter, where have the problems been this year? There's been many problems, but Tyler Adams has been a big miss with the hamstring. And this guy has been public enemy number one, hasn't he? And so for both of those guys to play, score, play well, and put a lot of this nonsense to the side, I think made it a pretty good night for the US.
But it's getting that consistent now, isn't it? Casey, as you said before, you think back to your teams, you could always guarantee whatever would happen, you would put everything out there on the pitch, you would bring 100% energy to these ties.
Yeah, we had to. I mean, if we didn't, we weren't going to be competitive. And I think that's the key now, is we see the quality that can come to the forefront, but it has to come after you match the energy or excel the energy of your opponent. You can't expect to play against any competition, any team, any competitive match, and think that you can go out and cruise it at 80%. I remember having a conversation with Thierry Henry about, he said, you know, Casey, he said, when we played the U.S., we always knew we had to match that energy. Otherwise, we had a chance of being embarrassed. He said, you can't let that drop just to say, hey, now we've got better players. We've got players playing for bigger teams. Now we can just kind of cruise our way through games. No, you have to continually match that energy, that spirit, and then let the quality players, let the guys like a Gio Reyna and a strike from Adams or, you know, Pulisic be able to then give that little bit something that's different from your opponent. But it all has to start with the attitude starting the match, and that's the consistency that Greg has to find.
Casey, we heard Xhaka defending Ochoa for the first goal. Will you take Shaka's side?
No. Look, I think Ochoa had a decent tournament. But this is a situation where, I mean, yeah, it's from a long ways. He takes a step and really goes nowhere. To Craig's point, watch where this goes in. It does not go in the middle. It's a good height. You know, if this ball starts a yard over the crossbar and comes down into the corner, then we don't have this conversation. And there's been a lot of conversation that we had on Football America's on Tuesday when we were previewing the semifinals and the finals. And there's a lot of question in Mexico, is it time for the Club America goalkeeper, Luis Malagón, to take over from Memo Ochoa? And was it going to be for this tournament? Was it going to be for Copa America? What are the kind of the political dynamic, you know, in replacing somebody like Ochoa? And he did do some things that, you know, Xhaka will agree with, that as you get older, those spaces kind of around you and the response time is still there. It's that movement over distance that is the most difficult. And I think that's where Ochoa was shown his age, was on that shot from distance and not being able to make up the ground.
As a goalkeeping expert,
you can relate myself. To getting old, Jack.
It's no extension. There's no. And by the way, it's not why they lost the game, because they were absolutely... And if Ochoa is still a problem at his age, then there's a long list, as long as my arm, of problems this team has. They are rank rotten by Mexican standards. But there's really no push-off from that, right?
Oh, you're taking over from Xhaka?
Well, he's been...
I'm really intrigued.
Well, I'm trying to give a reason, and I'll tell you why I'm taking over from Xhaka. Because he's not bothering his backside here. He's got it.
So it's the push-off.
You have to pack this in. I don't mean the job. I mean...
Big goalkeeping?
No, they're sticking up for goalkeepers.
We're not the push-off, Shaq.
It's the push-off, the right. It's the push-off.
Right, OK.
That's why the ball doesn't go in the... I know that.
I'm watching the game in real time. I did not blame Ochoa for it at all.
No.
I think a couple of things...
What about when Craig FaceTimed you?
Well, when I hear Craig explain, push-off, now all of a sudden I'm rethinking...
Well, jumping,
my,
no, yeah, like spring.
I'm rethinking my reason for existence when I hear Craig talking about push-off.
Craig keeps pushing off. It's International Week. Look from this angle. Come on. I think a bit...
There are two things. One, the defender who comes to close him down. And then there's a defender right in Ochoa's eyesight, which I think don't do him any favours at all. And then the strike on the ball. It's just so cleanly hit.
Right, come on.
Right.
This is not the story.
I was enjoying your telling of
this
it.
This is not the American way. Being very negative, right?
What do you mean?
It's all positive.
Well, positive, of course. This is the third time we've seen the CONCACAF Nations League tournament take place, and it is the third time that the US have won. Some interesting comments from Greg Berhalter in the post-match press conference.
You being a big Dallas Cowboys fan, you know how difficult it is to three-peat, so how does it feel to to guide this team to a three-peat here in CONCACAF?
It feels great. That was our focus. You know, we talked about it in the beginning of the camp. I showed the Michael Jordan slide when he's holding up the he's holding up the three fingers with the trophy, and that's what we wanted. Also, we photoshopped the Nations League trophy into the same picture of Michael Jordan. So that was what we were focused on. You know, it doesn't happen too often. I think in North American sports in the last 50 years, pro sports has probably happened 6 times. So it's rare. And, you know, congratulations to the guys. Congratulations for playing a great final. I think that's the other thing that needs to be said, is that we really performed well tonight. And, you know, we're happy.
Casey, are some things best left in the locker room?
I find this interesting, kind of it's a very new kind of idea, these motivational tactics from managers, and finding different ways to think that you're going to motivate the players. And yeah, I mean, some players buy into it, some players don't. I'm sure Craig was bought in 100% when his coaches put slides like that up. But whatever works. But yeah, I agree with you, Dan. That wouldn't have been something that would have motivated me.
Imagine photoshopping Craig with the World Cup.
with a naughty. if that doesn't motivate you, listen, honestly,
you'll have no teeth in the minute.
Or I'm using the spring.
No, but hold on a minute. Right, I tell you what, Craig Bell, and first and foremost, he pitches up at the press conference as if he's got an Olympic gold medal around his neck. Let's have some realism about this scenario here, this three-peat. It's the Champions League. What is it? It's the CONCACAF. I made that mistake earlier when I was talking to the producer. It's the CONCACAF Nations League, which is the same scenario as the CONCACAF. As the Nations League in Europe, isn't it?
Yes, you could argue that's a little more competitive.
Yeah, well, yeah. But let's call these what they are, and they have become. It is an alternative to the friendlies.
Yeah.
It's a glorified friendly. Right now, I don't have major problems with managers coming out with, you know, stuff when it's around World Cups, and, you know, maybe even I would cut some slack for the Gold Cup, which I think is a big load of dross anyway, but it's somewhat taken more serious. But, you know, this talk about the three-peat as if, you know, the CONCACAF
Nations League,
oh my God, is some sort of big deal. Come on, this is nothing more than getting your players together, seeing how they are, working out, figuring some stuff out, winning some games against some pretty poor teams. And it is what it is. And when I see Greg Berhalter running down the touchline, giving some faux happiness because the arch enemy has scored, Giarena, you know, you think, it's just too much for me. I mean, I can understand that if this was one of the greatest nights in American men's soccer history.
Yes.
Right, that he's bundling down the touchline as he did when Giarena scored, and this was going to mean the world because this was, you'd never seen this before. But this is a country that has been almost to a World Cup semi-final. You know, I mean, this is a country that, with Casey and others, has produced some really, really good teams with some big stars. We have to put in context what we saw. And what we saw was winning a tournament that is ultimately glorified friendly.
Is this no Chicago Bulls?
Not quite. but to Craig's point, I really believe that Berhalter was under a lot of pressure, and his reaction and then the press conference reflects as much. Let's remember, US were a 96-minute own goal away from going out against Jamaica. And I think that probably would have cost Berhalter his job. And now all of a sudden, thanks to that own goal and then extra time and a really good performance against Mexico, he's a little bit giddy with how things have turned out, because the other side of it could have been so much more dark for Greg Berhalter. Now he's taken his team into Copa America, at least on the back of a good performance and good result. Let's see what comes of that. But as I say, things things could have been so much worse for him.
Let's see. The aforementioned Copa America groups then, of course, all confirmed this weekend. Costa Rica qualifying, Canada as well when they beat Trinidad and Tobago.
All right.
So what it means for the US, Uruguay, Panama and Bolivia in Group C. You'll take that, Casey.
Yeah, very much so. There's no question that it's a great draw, and you have to really think that the U.S. and Uruguay are the favorites to go through, and then all of it depends on what happens in your next draw. But, you know, first and foremost, you got to get out of your group and go from there, and I think the U.S. have been put in a situation where, like in the World Cup draw, they were one of the favorites, and that puts a little different pressure on you. I think when you're in a draw where nobody expects you to go through, you can kind of go into it without a lot of pressure, where that's not the case with this draw. Particularly at home, the U.S. will be a favorite to go through out of that group. And then I think you have to assess who your opponent is in that next round before you start saying, okay, they should go further than that. But this gives them a great chance. This gives them a great chance to do something decent, and I think there's some pressure on Greg for that tournament as well, because like Shaka said, it hasn't been all smooth sailing in his return to the national team, and that result last night, I think you could see the relief in Greg that he got a not only a result but a performance. But Craig's 100%. It is. They're glorified friendlies, and it's a game that anytime you play Mexico, you know you're motivated and you want to beat your big rival. So this is going to be a much better test for Greg Berhalter and the U.S. men's national team.
What's the deal with, just quickly, what's the deal with Giorino? I mean, when you see a guy play like how he played in a slightly different position, nowhere near match fit. Right, big strong boy, you know, Jerry. I think he's bigger than a lot of people would think, so he can handle himself. Not just the goal, but, you know, to play in the manner in which he played with the lack of games that he's had, what's the problem at club level?
You're up against better opposition. Maybe, as you said, maybe it's that.
But when I see him play, I think, right, could he make a difference at Nottingham Forest? Yeah, they have some good players. They haven't got that many good players. So it sort of spins the mind a little bit in terms of what are club managers seeing in him that he's not really getting off the bench when we know he can make a difference. And it's not the physicality of English football, because he's quite a big lad. So it's a bit of a mystery, but I tell you, he won't be able to keep playing like that. These kind of games, when you have this kind of match and you've not played for your club, are few and far between. Doesn't happen all the time. So if he doesn't get game time and game time quick, that's another issue down the line for Berhalter.
And we'll discuss that, of course, in the future. But for now, Casey, you on Football Americas tonight?
Nobody's told me. Maybe.
don't run. Throw the phone away. Get away, Casey.
Switch off.
It's a block, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, Football Americas drops tonight, 8:30, live on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Take a look at Tuesday's international schedule. Some big games. England taking on Belgium. It's Germany against Netherlands. France, Chile, Argentina, Costa Rica. Meanwhile, the Santiago Bernabeu. Spain against Brazil. Both federations using this game as a vehicle to acknowledge that racism needs to be addressed within the sport. Vinicius Jr. spoke ahead of it, an emotional Vinicius Jr. said, I show up to matches with my mind focused on the game so I can perform my best for the team. I know that's not always possible, so I have to concentrate harder every day. He breaks down then in tears, and after about 30 seconds, he apologises. There's a round of applause from those attending the press conference. He says, sorry, I just want to play football. I just want to do everything I can for my club and my family. Mario joins us. It's impossible to watch that and not feel emotional, Shan.
Absolutely. Even now, me sitting where I am, seeing Vinicius Jr. kind of go through an ordeal that so many players before him have had to endure in the hope that the next generation of players won't. And time again, you feel that you're failing that next generation of players. You feel that more is being asked of you than should be or you can deliver. And I fully sympathise with everything that he's going through. As a football player, all you want to do is show up at the stadium, focus on your game, play the best game that you can, and go back and do it again next time around. You do not want to come to a football stadium and have your humanity be questioned, have your right to equality be questioned, have your right to play this game be questioned. And in this same press conference, before this, Vinicius Jr. goes on to talk about Spain isn't a racist country. But while he's being kind, and again, I sympathize with the sentiment, but at the same time, the institutions that are there to protect black football players, black citizens, the courts of Spain are the ones who say things like, well, the racist chanting didn't go on for that long, so it's okay. Or it wasn't that many people involved, so it's okay. Or you have people involved in the game saying, well, he gets paid a lot of money, so it's okay. These are the things that continue to plague footballers in today's game. And I feel, as a current footballer, the pressure continues to get to you because you're Vinicius Jr. and he makes the point, he's only 23 years old, he's still a young man, still growing, still learning about so much in life, but you recognize the roles that so many before you have played. For me, it was players like Viv Anderson, Laurie Cunningham, players who endured so much, players who just stepped out onto the field, accepted the abuse for what it was because representation mattered, because example mattered to little kids like me growing up half a world away. Roll the clock forward a generation, Vinicius Jr. understands that he is standing on the shoulders of giants and he has to continue their efforts so the next generation of footballers can ply their trades on an equal footing. But sometimes it's tough. When you feel that you're failing those before you and you're failing those to come after. That isn't his role, shouldn't be asked to. All you ask is for the institutions that are there to protect people's humanities to do their jobs.
It's an absolute scandal that he's sat there and he's almost having an emotional breakdown because of what he's been through and others, and we've talked about it on here, we cover La Liga every weekend. And let's be honest about this, whether it's La Liga themselves or the regulators in Spain, they brush this racism under the carpet and get it out of the way as quickly as they can. They don't want to do anything about it. And we've seen it with him and Rodrigo and others. And the fact that it's got to a point where You have a young man almost having a breakdown talking about it. I hope these people are watching this and saying, we need to do something. But, you know, they're not. I don't see them changing. Mm. There's people. There's almost a lawlessness within certain elements of the Spanish football supporting fraternity that they turn up, they do what they want, pretty much because they know thus far they've pretty much got away with it.
Mario, what was it like watching Vinicius Jr., once again, we've seen this, being so raw and honest about this?
I think when we watch this, I think what the guys already tapped into. You know, the saddest part in this situation is people that watch this, some of them giving comments about him breaking down and saying like, oh, why is he crying? Because he also, you know, go against our fans and stuff like this. But guys, you also have to remember sometimes, it's very hard to give a judgment on something that you haven't experienced. I've experienced it, so that's why I'm talking from experience. And I have friends around me that have seen it. And it does not go with color, eh? Because sometimes people think that, you know, it has to be a black guy, or it can be any color. It could be a white guy. It could be whatever color you want to call it. But now we are focused on the black, you understand, the culture. And people are telling us sometimes things that we already know. I know I'm a black kid, and I have never had a problem with my color. But then it comes down to people telling me about my color. But then I also say is that he's young. You know, Shaka said that, 23 years old. And there was a time where we could not speak because we felt alone and we were not supported by all of us. And we could not speak out because sometimes it would go against us. Now he's at a stage where he's a great footballer, because that's what people, you know, don't forget that, because he is there to entertain us. Regardless if he turns up at the game, he is an entertainer. And why is he entertaining us? Because he's showing us his ability. And the only reason why he's playing there is because his why and his how reasons are very vivid. Very, very, very out there. And he knows why he's playing, because he wants to help his family. And how he's doing it is because he started really early as a young boy. And now he's an older man, 23 years old, and playing for one of the greatest clubs in the world. So saying that is that, please understand how much you hurt someone when you judge him on something that is irrelevant to football. And that's why I totally support him and I totally stand behind him. The way he feels, I feel every minute of what he said.
He'll, of course, be action in that game against Spain at the Santiago Bernabeu, a game where, of course, growing excitement over Endrick. And his future, which will, of course, be in Spain, is he'll move to Real Madrid in the summer. Front page of Marca, Endrick shines at Wembley, of course, scoring the winning goal in that clash against England at the weekend. What's interesting, what's inevitable when it comes to young players, they are compared to Pelé. And he said, regarding these players, from my experience, you have to give them time and be very cautious. Suddenly there's talk that Endrick can be the new Pelé. Good heavens. That is to put too much pressure on him. At times, it generates a lot of stress, a demand that they're not mentally mature enough to deal with. It is doing them a disservice. We need them to let them develop their training process naturally, and the time will come when we have to really demand it from them. But I don't think they are yet prepared to withstand that sort of pressure. Who is willing to put up that pressure where you're compared to one of the greatest
coming
ever
from the,
at 17?
It's a little strange coming from the Spanish manager, is it not, talking about an opposition player?
Yeah.
But you know where I stand on this. I'm just amazed. And you know, we talked about a little bit about England, Brazil at the weekend, where Brazil deservedly got the victory. And people said, oh, Kobe Mino coming on, 18, brilliant, fantastic. And we're like, hold on, this guy's 17. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And these kids are just, it's just incredible. And there is more pressure. We've seen it particularly with Barcelona players this year. The youngsters coming in, Lamine Yamal at 16, Kubarsi at 16. This is incredible. I mean, again, I don't know about you, certainly, when I was 16, I could not play anywhere other than the youth team at Chelsea. Physically, I could, not only the talent level, and I'm not comparing myself, these guys are supremely talented, but looking at where I was at the time, I could not play anywhere else other than the youth team, because I wasn't ready in a football parlance, I wasn't ready in a physical parlance. I couldn't go in with grown men and physically compete. And yet these youngsters, not only do they walk into these world stages, you know, 70, 80, 90,000 crowds, superstars all over the place, physically they're ready, mentally it seems most of them are ready, and the confidence that they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was coming on trying... Endrick was trying 20-yard backheel passes to try and get in. I mean, I'm not suggesting there's no pressure on them and you don't have to give them time. But what I'm saying is youngsters have changed. Their bodies now. I don't know what it is. If it's just if it's the food chain has changed, or if it's the training has changed, or whether they're doing stuff from an earlier age, or whatever it is, these kids are just more ready now than anything I can remember for 30, 40 years. There's the odd exception, like Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
At 16.
Yeah. Or Mario Melchior.
Yeah.
Still at school, of course. What? When he played. Didn't you, was Mario, you, when you played for Ajax?
Was you 16?
You were still a youngster.
No. Like, what? I think I was 18, you know, turning into 19. But the thing what Greg just said, I think now we're living in a time where, one, I think they're way more developed than our time in the sense of that. But also I feel like coaches are taking more risk. I think at the time when I was there, Ajax was like being seen as a team like, oh, they risk with all those young kids and everything. Now it becomes a normal thing. Dortmund is doing it. Benfica is doing it. You can go to England. I think, like, look, if you look at a Foden, if you look at, you know, like we can call so many young stars, you understand, like a Bellingham, Musiala in Germany, you know, like these are the kind of things where football is now. And I enjoy it because I will always support a young talent that is breaking through. Why? Because I think when I got my chance, I was still at school. I was a school kid. And then, you know, Louis van Gaal came to me and gave me the opportunity to start my first game against AC Milan, what beat Ajax Ajax beat them in the final the year before. And then after that, I'm playing against them, against guys like Maldini, you know, Baresi, you know, like George Weah. You know, things like that as a young boy, when you come in that field, the only thing you have is like what we just talked about, is you have the nerve, but you also have the feeling like this is what I always wanted. And those guys do it even better than what I felt.
Mario, what advice would you give him then, as someone who started quite young? Did you gain advice or someone tell you something that resonated with you?
Yeah, you try to learn as much from the most experienced guys around you. I think that's the best thing. And I always say this, when you come in the game and you're a young boy, the best thing advice I can give in any job, this has not to do with football. Don't talk a lot. Just take a lot of info in. Because there are guys around you that will guide you in the path and answer the questions that you might have. And sometimes you're scared to ask because you're scared to ask. Like saying to him, like, look, when I come on sometimes, I feel a little bit tired in the beginning. Then, you know, the guy might say to you, take it easy in your warm-up. Don't warm up like a crazy guy, because that's what I did. My debut, I was running like crazy. Then when they called me and said, like, you're going to come on now? My first sprint against Milan, I was tired. I felt like I already played 90 minutes while I was only on for 1 minute. So things like that, I think, as a young boy, you have to know that. So I think an experienced guy needs to tell you, take it easy with your warm-up. Warm up good, but don't run too much. Do a lot of running when you're on the field playing against people and not outside when nobody cares about it. I said, okay. And then that's what I did.
But it's incredible when you take a look at Brazil.
I'd hate to have seen you at 16.
Me?
Yeah, I mean, you must have been about 3 feet.
He peaked at 15.
Peaked at 15 in my career, that was it.
You know when they said it? He'll grow.
Yeah, one day. It's interesting with Brazil and this desperation to have the next Pelé. When I was at Real Madrid 2005, Robinho was the next man. You know, played for Santos. You showed so many reels of all the skills that he had. Came to Madrid, his career went down the toilet. Because mentally, he wasn't there. He wasn't ready.
And which is why I think what De La Fuente is saying is absolutely right. And to be honest, it's not just Brazil. You could look at not just Brazil, and it's not just this sport in football. And I think we have to get away from pressuring these kids to be the next whoever it may be, and allow them to grow into the game, because there's so much that can happen. And there's the line between success and failure grows thinner and thinner the higher up you go. So there isn't much higher to go than Real Madrid. That line is incredibly thin as to whether you make it or not. But when I see this furor over Endrick as the newest of our game superstars. It brings me back to something LeBron James said a couple of weeks ago on crossing his most recent milestone, which I think was 400,000 points or whatever it was recently. And he spoke about commercials that ESPN ran when he was coming out of high school and the pressure that put him under. Mm-hmm. And while LeBron James has gone on to achieve everything that's been asked of him and so much more, even he, looking back on it, says it's unfair for an 18-year-old to be likened alongside Will Chamberlain and the greats in that sport. And now we're doing the same in ours. It's something that I think we as an industry have to get away from. Allow these kids to be kids. Allow these kids to grow into their game.
But they come from countries that they're so... What's the word? It's so ingrained in the very fibre of their makeup as kids coming through that Argentina, it's a Maradona and a Messi, and it's a Pele for Brazil, and all these... And, you know, the mental side of it, and I suppose for these wannabe superstars that they want... It's the same for every position, because at every club, we've all seen it. We've all seen players, many, many, many players that have been better than players that have made it, talent-wise.
Yeah.
And have ended up at a lower league or in a different business. We've all seen it. We've all seen, well, he's better than him. The guarantee he's going to make it and he's not. And then it was the opposite way around.
Right.
I saw it a load of times coming through the youth team. At Chelsea, and then I saw it later on at Celtic and at Chelsea, where you looked at players and you go, wow. And then you thought, my God, if he can take that from the training ground onto the field, we're on a winner here. And 50% of them cannot.
Yeah.
Because when people start howling at you, it's the mental side of it. Do you cope with it? Do you get on with it? Can you handle it? Or do you crumble? Now, for these kids that have got the pressure of the Pelés and others, it's even more so. But for every player coming through, the mental side of it is almost as equal as the talent side of it.
So it's Spain against Brazil at the Santiago Bernabéu tomorrow. Then on Sunday at the Bernabéu, big game in La Liga. Real Madrid taking on Athletic Club. That match live on ESPN+. Preceding that, at Montjuic, it's Barca against Las Palmas. Things kick off on Friday with Cadiz against Granada. All those games live on Plus.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Taking a look at how things stand then in the Premier League, it is Manchester City, of course, against Arsenal on Sunday. Another huge game at the top of the table. But of course, before that, there's the little problem of England against Belgium, where five players, in theory, could feature. The top three most definitely will. Declan Rice will captain the side. We know that his 50th cap on Tuesday against Belgium. Here's Gareth Southgate talking about the balance between club and country.
We're always mindful how we manage the players, and again we have to adapt our plans to whatever happens. We've had clubs in the Champions League finals before. We had a World Cup with only 4 or 5 days prep last year, so it is increasingly challenging at international level. But as I said, we've got to make the best possible decisions with the hand we have.
How does this work, if, for example, if you're Phil Foden?
Well, he's scared of losing, isn't he?
Well, the criticism most.
But what's he going to learn? What's he going to learn from Declan Rice?
Yep.
What's he going to learn from Phil Foden playing? What's he going to learn from John Stones, who's had injuries this season mm-hmm. for Man City? Kyle Walker's already out. If something happens to John Stones, you know, Guardiola's not going to be happy. Now, every manager in the league, I suppose, will be saying the same thing. But what's the point of these friendly games, not even Nations League, these friendly games, if you're not going to look at more fringe players for your to beef out your squad? Because let's forget, 11 players start, and it's probably going to be, what, 25? Give or take. Yeah.
Southgate's argument is, look, I don't have much time with these players, so I need to get them to play as much as they can mm-hmm. together to see if it's going to work going forward, looking ahead to the Euros, isn't it? Is that not a valid argument?
It's a manager's argument. I don't see how having one game, two games is a credible way of going, well, that looks great.
Right.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think good players can play with good players if the balance is right between the players themselves, not so much how many games have they played together. I think that's more important. Can their games mesh together and work together? I think if I was these managers, particularly the ones, if I'm in the mid-table, I'm not really that fussed. But if I'm going to be relegated potentially, or I'm going for these big trophies, and my top guys are playing 180 minutes in these two games, I'm not happy. Mm. I'm really not happy. And I think Southgate's leaving himself open here to some of these superstar players picking up injuries and having the wrath of the manager's coming down on him. That's his choice. I just don't feel the need for him to do this
right.
in both these matches.
But at the same time, this is not just a Gareth Southgate or England problem. Every single player.
No, it's true. We've had.
Every single player at these clubs is going to be away on international duty, a few exceptions, of course, and every manager is going to hold their breath, whether you're talking Ancelotti and Vinicius mm-hmm. Jr. Or whoever it may be. That's just the pitfalls with when you sign the best players in world football, that it comes with the territory. Gareth Southgate has a job to do himself, and I sympathise. Is this the last international window before?
Yeah, there's two more friendlies, I think, before the Euros.
So
there
really isn't a lot of time to get things right.
What are you learning from this that you don't already know, having Declan Rice play?
So you have three games to go before your fate is decided. Your fate is decided this summer, and you need to get it right.
You've not got Harry Kane, you've not got Saka.
Well, your fate is...
You've already got a diluted team, so why not use this opportunity?
Your fate is deciding what you do for your club, and I'll tell you why. Calvin Phillips has done a pretty good job for England, but he's playing horribly for West Ham, mm-hmm. and he's not in the team.
Yeah.
He's not in the squad, right? And rightly so. So your fate is not by what you do, really, for England. It's what you do at your club.
No, I'm talking about Southgate. His fate is decided this summer.
Before we go to Mario Kart, I tell you one of the other problems. There's two friendly dates here. Did you say there's two more?
I think there's two more, right. But it's like the warm-ups before the Euros.
There's absolutely no need in the modern day for two friendlies, weekend and midweek.
Yeah.
You could chew on one. That would suffice. One at the weekend... Right? No problem with that. England played Brazil or they played Belgium at the week, whatever it was. They have a big game at the weekend. He runs out his guys. He's able to bring a bunch of subs on. He's seen some of the others in training. And then they have almost a week to go back to the club. That's common sense. There is no need to squeeze this other international.
I don't know what it is about another full Wembley that attracts the FA and having all this ticket money.
Well, paying for it.
You cynic.
Well, it's what it's all about. It's absolutely what it's all about. Mario, how would you feel if you're someone like Phil Foden, John Stones or Declan Rice going into this guy, given that it's Arsenal on Sunday?
Look, this is a big game. And I think the guys that he knows that are going to be part of his team, those are kind of most likely the guys that will think about if they're going to perform in this game. Why? Because people will say, like, when you get on the field, I think this is the biggest problem with any individual footballer. And I think Greg and Chaka will relate to it. When we touch the grass, right, we go on the field, we sometimes forget what is coming next because we play for our nation. The game for your nation is very difficult to hold back on. It's sometimes, you understand, it's or you don't turn up at all. Because for the coach, he then has to take the responsibility to take you off. But sometimes the game doesn't go like he wants to take you off. So then the problem comes. And that's why I feel like what Greg said was an invalid point in the sense of, why do we have to play so many games? Because sometimes too many games, the games that you play has to be around the people that you want to test. And not testing the ones that you already are going to pick anyway. And if you want to test them, do it on the training field. So they don't have to perform in those games. Because sometimes they get injured right before, and that's what happened to me, right before the Euro, a month before, I played a game. My coach, what did he say to me? Oh, play this last game. What did I pulled my groin. Okay, I didn't care. I did whatever it took to get me to the Euro. Because I said, nothing is going to hold me back. I went to the Euro, you know, and Van Basten picked me because he said, like, no, even if you're injured, I think you're going to get well very quickly. But still, I think sometimes you have to protect yourself as an individual. And I think that's sometimes going to happen. If you like it or you don't, individuals, especially stars, are going to protect themselves. And who doesn't is the ones that try to get in the team and they want to play everything.
I wouldn't put it past managers ringing. You know, I'm not suggesting it's happened, but I wouldn't put it past an Arteta or a Guardiola or anybody else ringing, texting the player saying, listen, just tell them you're feeling your back.
Yeah, your back. That's the one. That's what you've taught me over the years. The back is the best one to say because you can't detect that.
Why look at me when you say
because
that?
You were the one who told me no, about it. Yes, you did.
I shouldn't really say this, but if you want to have a
deal. How many times did you have a problem with your back?
Never.
No.
Hey, Mario, that's a lie. He told me the backstory. That's the one. That's the golden goose of injuries.
I want to know about this.
If you want to have a day off, Mario,
you're retired.
If you want to have a day off, throw in a little back one.
The back's the one, yeah.
If you want to have, I said that.
It's difficult to detect. Yep.
Craig told me.
No, you told
Craig
me.
Craig told me.
That's what it was. Don't pretend. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available to listen to. You can download that now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mario will be back with us in a moment to answer your questions on Extra Time. I really like the first one. Stay tuned.
Oh.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig is here.
Some applause.
Say again?
Oh. Shall we applaud?
Applaud who?
Mario.
What, because his internet made it throughout the show?
Hey! Yeah!
Beautiful
Greg,
moment.
Greg, hey, thank you, Craig, my brother. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Let's not jinx it.
Okay.
Don't
jinx it. Yeah, exactly. Now, as we discussed on Saturday, our studios are close to New York, where there was lots of rain. Now, we can see the mascots ahead of the game coming out. Have you seen this video?
No.
It's really cool. Really nice, actually, because it's absolutely chucking it down.
Oh.
And then one by one, the players kind of start to give the mascots a...
Oh, very nice.
Which leads us to the first question, which is, did the boys see the video while they're singing now?
No.
Which FC pundit would be least likely to give up their jackets?
Oh.
Now, one name springs to mind, and it isn't the obvious one, because I think you would, because you're actually, you know, it's a nice side to you. I'm looking at Craig, by the way.
That's a very good... I know there's a perception, and I'm happy to facilitate that perception.
Right.
However, I do have that side.
Yeah, I think you do have that kind of softer side.
So it wouldn't be
you, wouldn't be Shaka.
No.
Obviously, it wouldn't be Mario. Mario's softy. I wonder if we're thinking of the same person.
I think I'm... Hold on.
Do you think of anyone, Shaka?
Well, I'm down to two, but then there's not many of us.
Shaka?
Well... I'm thinking of somebody.
Oh, right. This is like a really...
Yeah.
Would you like to say if you're thinking?
I don't know.
I'm really 50-50.
No, I'm pretty much on board with number the way I've got. I would say Stuart Robson.
Yeah.
Oh, I would, because
people are like, come on, son, this is it. If you want to be a footballer,
tough enough.
Yeah, exactly. Tough enough.
It's a little bit of rain.
I was in between Ali and Stevie.
Yeah. Oh, well, Stevie because he couldn't get the zip done. That'd be the problem. I think Ali.
I think Stevie could cover a couple of mascots.
That's unfair. I think his would cover the whole.
Him and Gab got the whole team sorted. That's it.
I could keep mine on.
Gab would give one of the youngsters the jacket, and some the kid would say, "Why is there so many zips in this book?"
I know. Julian going, let me speak.
I forgot about Robbo.
I thought Robbo, because you know what Robbo's like.
Yeah, real. Robbo's a good shot.
That's a perception as well with Robbo.
No, Robbo hasn't got much empathy.
Nah.
You got to toughen up.
Are you saying I've got more empathy than Robbo?
He's no Craig Burley, clearly.
No, that's crazy.
Do you think on a golf course Robbo would have my patience?
Nah.
No.
Very patient man, you know.
Yeah, I know you are on the golf. Yes, I know.
Golf Craig is very different.
Apart from I almost lost my patience with you one day.
Wow.
When I met that par three.
Nah, I was ready to walk on. You wanted me to keep playing it.
Anyway, questions.
Okay. Right, where we go.
Craig, what results should Liverpool be rooting for in the Manchester City Arsenal game?
Oh, wow. What's the table again?
64-64-63.
Draw.
Who's 63?
Manchester City.
Draw.
I mean, the obvious would be a draw, but I would say... It's a good question, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I got it right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want... If I'm looking at who might falter, I wouldn't want City to win the game. Right. I think I would take an Arsenal win and a draw, even though Arsenal are slightly above them and playing really well.
But because we know what City can do.
We know when you poke the bear.
Yeah.
I tried to just make sure I didn't say something there.
Okay. We're okay.
Yeah, well.
So a draw or an Arsenal win, but not any City momentum.
Right. Mario, what would you go for? If you're a Liverpool fan, who are you rooting for?
Yeah, I would probably say, the draw is more likely because that's just a normal thing. But, if you're a Liverpool fan, I'll go for Arsenal to win and kill the momentum. Arsenal to lose, I mean. And then kill that momentum. But then City is the problem because if they keep on going, you might have a problem there. But, I think maybe this season might be... Where Arsenal is taking it now, I'm worried a little bit in the sense of for anybody that's trying to compete with them. If they can't come back after the international week and do something good... Then I think if they lose that game, it could kill the momentum of them.
Mario, you kind of gave us all three answers then.
I mean Arsenal to lose. That's what.
Okay.
I
say. Okay. There we go. You live fast.
You know, I'm with Mario.
What?
Draw or Arsenal lose as your second choice.
Okay.
So that. I mean, it's the argument. It's Man City momentum, isn't it? Mm. But you know, as an opposing player, as a Liverpool player, I don't think it's not something I think you think about too much.
Right. Would you watch the game?
Yeah.
Me? No. Just joking. It's a joke.
Probably.
Making a face up like that.
I mean, I would imagine they'll. I can't remember what the Arsenal, what the Liverpool schedule is for the weekend. But I would imagine if they could, they'll watch the game.
Yeah.
But. At the end of the day, when you're a player, the result is a result. You can't influence that. And so when you're looking at it from the player's point of view, it's all I can do is influence what we do. So these questions always come up, but in my memory, it's not something that we sat and went, for example, head neck and neck with Rangers all season. The result on a Saturday, if we were playing on a Sunday, was the result. and you just got to adjust to it, whatever it is.
Interesting question here.
Good question. As a player, I'm not sure I'd watch it. If I were a Liverpool player, I'm not sure I'd watch a game.
No? Well, you've just beaten Brighton.
Are they playing Brighton?
Brighton just before.
I'm not sure I'd watch it.
You're playing Brighton, you're having a beer.
I'll wait to find out the result and then kind of look at how the game developed based on knowing the result.
You would purposely not watch it?
Yes.
Because it would be too stressful?
Yeah.
You'd be too busy.
Nap time.
Fixing his aircon.
What time? What time's kick off again?
Mario, would you watch it?
Yeah, I understand. Watching it, no, probably not, because I probably would look at it, maybe a highlight I could look at, but I would not want to watch the game. Why not? No, because I know all the players that are playing against each other, so I know technically what they're going to do. So I just want to have the result and keep moving. And I don't want them to live in my head for free. No. Oh. I don't want that.
No. What is going on in your head for free, Mario?
For free?
For free? Life, my friend. Enjoy life. That's all goes for free.
Beautiful.
That's all goes for free, my friend.
Nothing I'll tell you else. What, there's some sort of barometer for the most chilled out between these two.
Okay, right.
It'd be quite a matchup, wouldn't it?
Of who's more chilled out, yeah. And then who's less chilled? You and Rob are at the other end.
Yeah, we're at the other end of the spectrum.
Fighting about a wrinkle.
It's on edge.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. Sitting about to...
Right, for Shaka, this is quite deep.
Oh, is it?
Both Craig and Mario went really young into prestigious football academies.
Yeah.
Chelsea and Ajax, obviously. While you enjoyed your time at Howard University.
Yeah.
Do you...
Ah! Sorry.
I don't know why that was... That was there, sir.
Carry on.
Do you feel not going into an academy hampered your growth?
No. I don't think I think my time at university was good for me to mature. Good for me to understand time management. I couldn't have done.
I can't. Give me a sick bag. I can't listen to any more of this.
I couldn't have done it 16. I couldn't.
I tell you what, you're so mature.
I never think you're so mature. I couldn't do it.
And to that point, Mario, do you feel that you missed out on fun times as a student at university because you went into football so young?
I don't think. I think the journey was great. I had moments, of course, I would fight against my mom and say to him, why am I not allowed to do this, what my friends are doing? My mom said, don't worry. For example, the nightclubs. You know, you want to go to a nightclub. I said to my mom, why can I not go? All my friends are going. She goes, don't worry. The nightclub will still be there when you bring the diploma to my house and become a professional footballer, because that's what you want. I said, okay, mom. Eventually, I became the pro, and the nightclubs were still there, and I could go out. So, in a way, she was right. So that's why I don't think it held back on my life, and I don't think... And if I would have gone the other way, like Al-Shaka said, no. I think the mindset of the human, I think me as a young boy, is just making sure that I went after what I wanted. I think I'm happy for that journey.
Beautiful.
There was no nightclubs in London when I went there. I was too young.
No, exactly.
And university wasn't all fun and games. Dan was making love.
In London?
I was studying very hard.
My university was great.
Well, see, that's you, Dan. I was studying very hard, Dan.
Shut up, Shaka.
Tell you what, though. Focused. I'd love to on my maturing.
What? I really matured in
you. I'd love to see what academy kids do now.
In what sense?
Oh, yeah, you got to...
Well, if you asked the academy kids to do what they did in the 70s, 80s, 90s, coach should be arrested.
Well, it was much more of a bullying culture, yeah, is that fair?
Well, it's not so much the bullying, because, I mean, there's a lot... The terminology back then was a lot different, but, you know, there's a lot of shouting, a lot of screaming at you,
yeah,
and there's lots to do out with learning the game.
Right.
It's all the crappy jobs.
Because you had to clean the stadium, clean the boots.
Clean the stadium, clean all... Not you, you had four pros, and mine was Tony DiRigo, Mickey Hazard and I think Kerry Dixon, one or two others. You're cleaning boots. Now, don't forget, so you're getting there in the morning and you're making sure all the kit's ready for the training. So you have to be there before the big timers, the pros. And yet everyone has to be spot on. Your players that you're looking after, the training kit, the boots needs to be clean, everything in place. And then you go and do your training, and then you come back in, clean everything up.
Right.
I mean, it's a mess, and then it's just jobs, right? So you're balancing it, and the whole premise of doing that was a great... And I think it's... Honestly, to me, and all the guys that come through around that period of, you know, whatever it was, that decade, was the grounding was incredible. It's humbling. Mm. You can't get to there, even if you're a great player, which I certainly wasn't as a kid. There was much better kids than me, even at Chelsea. But even if you're one of the best kids coming through, you don't get to there unless you've mucked in with all those other jobs. I mean, it's almost bonding. Now, today they don't do that, right? And I'm not saying that they're more... Nowadays, and rightly so, they're housed in better places. The nutrition is much better. They don't have all these jobs, so they can concentrate on the technical aspects
right.
of their actual game. And I think from that point of view, we're seeing all these kids coming through, and it is better, but I think a lot of them are less humble than the guys that had to go through the muck and the crap basically to get to where, because it makes you, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, completely.
It makes you
appreciate it.
I don't want to be doing this for another 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I need to get to there.
Right.
Because this is horrible. That's kind of how it was.
Mario, what was your experience like as a youngster at Ajax?
As a youngster at Ajax, you know, like what Greg said, it was identical to that. I was in the reserve, for example, and I would go training. Like, my mom would say to me, you're not allowed to be the first to leave the training ground. So having said that, even the pitch. So when we'd done training, I had to keep training my left foot because it wasn't good. I was a righty. So she said, you got to practice the left, because getting to the first team, I see people using both. So sometimes the lights went out. It was dark. I come into the dressing room and there were a couple of guys, like the older guys in the team, like maybe four guys, they were laughing at me and they said to me, why you keep training? I said, because one day I want to make it to the first team. And they laughed at me. And I'm standing under the shower and the water is coming on my eyes and they cannot see me crying. I'm literally crying because they're hurting me. So they're bullying me and it's going like, you'll never make it. If you make it, I become Maradona. Next thing you know, I make my debut in the first team. I then join Chelsea. I fly back to Holland to play to the Netherlands to play for Holland, and I walk into a bar, and who do I see? Literally the kid that took the lead and bullying me under the shower. So he goes really crazy, enjoying, hey Mario, great to see you, this and that. He said, let me buy you a drink. I said, no, let me buy you a drink and all your friends. So I buy them a drink, and then I said, before I go, I want to know where you play now. And the kid looks at me and he goes, I play at an amateur team in Hilversum. I said, you remember what you did to me in the shower? I will never forget that day. I said, enjoy your evening, and I walked out of the bar. I will never forget that kid, till today.
Wow, Mario.
Some great stories. I mean,
that's incredible, isn't it?
It's incredible, Tim. One of the jobs we had to do, so in a Saturday, if Chelsea were playing on a weekend or a midweek, say they were playing, I remember one game, they were playing Nottingham Forest on a Wednesday night, and part of my job with another guy called Dave Lee was to clean the away dressing room.
Oh, okay.
Right, so we had to wait, and all the Nottingham Forest players going out before we cleaned the dressing room. And I remember, I'll never forget this, Nigel Clough came out, and he asked where the bar was, and his dad slapped him very hard around the head and told him to get on the bus because they just lost. I'm going to say, well,
wow.
Yeah. But anyway, our job was to clean the dressing room, and so we couldn't do it till all the Forest players came out. And it was, I mean, you know, it was like, it's a mess, there's tape and there's mud everywhere. And in the dressing room, I think I've told you this, there was not, before it was all renovated, years ago, there was a bunch of showers, and then I think there was five or six individual bathtubs. Now, if every player gets in those bathtubs, or five or six of them get in the bathtub, when they get out of that, it is a mess.
Of course.
And it takes some scrubbing. And Dave Lee come up to me, he got in his pocket, I went, what are you doing, Dave? He went, we won't be cleaning any baths tonight. And he got out six bath plugs. He'd been in before Forrest got there, and he'd pulled the rubber plugs.
Yes!
Out of every chain. Every chain. And so he went, we'll not be cleaning any baths tonight, son. Because nobody's having a bath in that. And I was like that, because Dave was a couple of years older than me, and I was like, he switched on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was nice, like, stuff. Yeah. It's brilliant.
You missed out on all of that, Shaq.
Yeah.
So
studying. Very hard,
Dad. How's about this? I cleaned Tony DiRigo's boots at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then when I went in at Derby, I was his captain.
Wow.
Should have made him clean your boots.
Ah!
Lauded that over.
There's a swing around for you.
There's a full circle.
But he's only a young... I think he was 23 when he was at Chelsea.
I should make some sort of Hollywood movie about you, Craig.
We're going to call it.
Craig's
biography.
Tomorrow, extra time. Craig. I want a name for the movie.
Well, that is it.
Craig, where did you train when you were at Chelsea? Because the training ground was not, you know, the cutest place to be. Because the wind was incredible there. Great club.
We trained at Harlington, as probably you did.
I was like the same place, like I trained the same place as you. Oh my God. Oh, it was so cold. When the wind was there,
listen,
oh my God, guys.
Viali like trained there.
It was incredible.
Zola trained there, yeah. Hullet trained there. Hey, they've all trained there.
Dorigo.
They all trained there.
Another part of the movie.
They're making a film about me, apparently.
Free freezing.
Lots of empathy.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, guys. I love it when you tell those stories. It's very good.
I don't really.
I do.
You don't.
I do. For a mister, let's get in and out as quickly as possible. Let's tell some more stories.
You got to give.
We'll be back to you in tomorrow as well.
No, I'm not. I'm off tomorrow.
Oh, I'm off. Rest. It's just me and you tomorrow?
We'll find out. Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Lots of stories.
There we are. More stories.